ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 18. Diti vows to kill King Indra. Text 31 through 34. Sa eva devata lingair. Sa eva devata lingair. Namarupa vikalpitai Namarupa vikalpitai Ijyate Bhagavan Pungbi Ijyate Bhagavan Pungbi Stribishapati Rupadrik Stribishapati Rupadrik Pati, the husband, Eva, indeed, he, certainly, Narinam, of women, Daivatam, demigod, Paramam, supreme. Smritam is considered. Manasa, situated in the heart. Sarvabhutanang, of all living entities. These are actually two verses together. Vasudeva, Vasudeva. Striya, of the goddess of fortune. Pati, the husband. Sa, he, Eva, certainly, Devata Lingai, by the forms of the demigods, Nama, names, Rupa, forms, Vikalpitai, conceive, Ijyate, is worshipped, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pumbi, by men. Stribi, by women. Cha, also. Patirupadrik, in the form of the husband. So we'll read this translation, go back to 31, and read again forward. A husband is the supreme demigod for a woman, the supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Vasudev, the husband of the goddess of fortune, is situated in everyone's heart and is worshipped through the various names and forms of the demigods by fruitive workers. Similarly, a husband represents the Lord as the object of worship for a woman. So going back to text 31. Evaṁ śuśrutastata bhagavān kaśyāpa striya prahasya parama prita ditim abadhinandhyacha. O my dear one, the most powerful sage Kaśyapa, being extremely pleased by the mild behavior of his wife Diti, smiled and spoke to her as follows. Shri Kashyapa Uvacha Varang Varaya Vamoru Pritasteham Anindite Striya Bartari Suprite Kakama Iha Chagamaham. Kashyapa Muni said, O beautiful woman, O irreproachable lady, since I am very much pleased by your behavior, You may ask me for any benediction you want. If a husband is pleased, what desires are difficult for his wife to obtain, either in this world or in the next? Today's verse. A husband is the supreme demigod for a woman, the supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Vasudev, the husband of the goddess of fortune, is situated in everyone's heart, and is worshipped through the various names and forms of the demigods by fruitive workers. Similarly, a husband represents the Lord as the object of worship for a woman. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yepyanya devata bhakta yajan ye shraddha yanvitaha Tepi mam eva konteya yajant yavidhi purvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone. But it is offered without true understanding. The demigods are various assistants who act like the hands and legs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is not in direct touch with the Supreme Lord and cannot conceive of the exalted position of the Lord is sometimes advised to worship the demigods as various parts of the Lord. If women who are usually very much attached to their husbands worship their husbands as representatives of Vasudev, the women benefit, just as Ajamila benefited by calling for Narayan, his son. Ajamila was concerned with his son, but because of his attachment to the name of Narayan, he attained salvation simply by chanting that name. In India, a husband is still called Pati Guru, the husband spiritual master. If the husband and wife are attached to one another for advancement in Krishna consciousness, their relationship of cooperation is very effective for such advancement. Although the names of Indra and Agni are sometimes uttered in the Vedic mantras, Indraya Swaha, Agnaye Swaha, the Vedic sacrifices are actually performed for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. As long as one is very much attached to material sense gratification, the worship of the demigods or the worship of one's husband is recommended. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here in Srimad Bhagavatam, Diti wanted to have someone come kill Lord Indra. And so she's worshiping her very powerful husband. And there are many lessons throughout Srimad Bhagavatam as to how to achieve the perfection and goal of life. So here it's described that as long as one is still desiring anything in this material world, then they should either worship the demigods, because the demigods will give them some results. And here is describing the Pati Guru, the husband, because women are protected in a very young age by the father. And when they get married, the husband is to protect his wife in such a way that she'll also get the benefits of his austerities. Simply by serving Because it's not some mechanical process, devotional service or advancement in spiritual life. It's not that simply we're going to pick up a book and read and study and think that we'll achieve the perfection of life. We need to go through the proper process. If one goes to school, medical school, then he hears from the professor, he studies the authorized books, and he actually submissively carries out the orders of his teachers in order to achieve the maturity to understand how to move forward. So here is describing that if husband and wife are both together for the purpose of spiritual advancement and attached to one another in such a way that they're actually helping in spiritual advancement, then it's productive, it's beneficial. Then you can actually take shelter, just like when we have friends or we have our Diksha Guru, we have our Shiksha Guru. So Shiksha Guru is giving us inspiration, enlivening us by their steady determination, by their strong faith in the words of Krishna, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna, their steadiness and their determination in Krishna consciousness gives us strength as well. So the husband, if he's actually pursuing spiritual life, becomes a bona fide spiritual master. One should not be a father, a mother, a husband, you know, a guru. If you can't relieve your dependence from the cycle of birth and death, then you're simply cheating. Prabhupada would often speak with teachers or professors who are speaking some materialistic knowledge of how to achieve a very nice, comfortable position in the material world, that you're actually cheaters, because you're not explaining to them the purpose of this rare human form of life. People don't know. They think that maybe we should do Marxism or follow some Nietzsche or some professor. You know, there's many learned people, Einstein, Newton, Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, everyone has some mission and purpose. But actually the real guru is Krishna. Because Krishna, he's speaking to Uddhava, he's describing that by the time he creates everything, but at the time of dissolution, people forget the knowledge. So upon the next creation, Krishna comes, Hamsa. He's speaking to Lord Brahma, this knowledge, this Vedic truth. Because Lord Brahma was also curious. He did deep meditation for so many years. What is the purpose? What is the truth? What is the goal of life? And Brahma gave to Manu, man. I think Manu, man comes from Manu, because he's the father of mankind. And Manu gave to Bhrigu Muni. And in this way, this Vedic knowledge is coming down in disciplic succession. And there are rules and regulations in the scriptures. Just like anyone who's serious about getting healthy, if you're diseased, if you take the prescribed medication from your doctor, your guru, in a whimsical way, or you don't take the proper doses, or you neglect to take your medicine, then no intelligent person can expect to get relieved of the disease. So all of us have that disease that we're going to get old. Some kind of ailment will come about. We'll lose our vision, our hearing, our sight, everything will start falling apart. This is the symptoms of old age, and then diseases, and ultimately death. And if we waste the time, the valuable human life, without inquiring, what is the purpose, what is the goal, how can I get shelter? Here is describing that the woman is sheltered by the husband, so she worships or serves in a very loving way, and by that like when you have someone who's serving, you know, a lot of, there are many gurus, and a disciple who's serving very nicely, the guru is pleased, happy. Just like Devahuti was asking Kapila Muni questions about how, what is the purpose and goal of life? And inside, Kapila Dev felt very satisfied, very happy. All the sages are asking, and even when Uddhava was asking Krishna, what is the purpose, the goal of life? Please explain this to me. When you leave, or when the Vedic, what is the solution? What is the guidance to humanity when you are gone? So Krishna was feeling very happy in the form of Kapila Dev. He didn't express it externally, but he was feeling satisfied that here's a very submissive, wonderful person asking the proper questions. And that question is, who am I? Why am I here in this world? And where am I going at the time of death? So there are many species of life. And all these varieties of species, they cannot understand. A dog cannot understand if other dogs are being, wherever, about the purpose and goal of life. There are a couple different kinds of birds. There's the crow that goes for the garbage, or if you throw garbage on the street, you see the dogs and the pigs, they go merging around in the garbage. And that is not humans' business, because there's the swans. The swan is not interested in the garbage. The swans are interested in the lotus flower. The swans are interested in clear, transcendental, or pure waters. And so we should approach the hamsa personalities. Birds of a feather flock together. That means that the crow-like people want to discuss gramya katha, what's going on in the village. Do you hear what that person did with that other person? And did you hear who's running for president? And what kind of battle they had for the whole year, insulting one another and showing all their dirty laundry. And people, Prabhupada's describing that the newspapers of the New York Times to kill so many trees just to publish Gramya Katha. And what's more exciting? There's a riot here, a protest there. You know, the candidates for president said this about that one and this and that. It's just a waste of time. People who are of crow mentality take pleasure in hearing about, oh, this one was very great man, but look how low he fell due to his sinful activities. And there's no real happiness and satisfaction in pursuing material sense gratification. No matter how much of a multimillionaire we may be, or how much we think we're protected by our wealth and good family and prestige, everything in this world is temporary, so it's actually considered like an illusion, illusory, because before this body, our particular family did not exist, or our particular circumstances of the birth we took, or the kind of wealth we have. And you might have 10 PhDs and 50 master degrees and accumulate millions of dollars, but still you can only eat a couple of chapatis, lie down in a 6-foot area, and then you're always fearful, who's coming to take my money? And everybody becomes your friend. You know, like, hey, Badri Narayan Maharaj, don't you have a lot of money? I think you should let me borrow some money for my new scheme. You know, I have a friend, Ambarish Prabhu, we used to be together in Florida, and every day he'd get an email with somebody with a new idea, a new business venture, a new proposal. Please, only $20,000, and we'll be successful. It's like, no, if you have so much wealth and so much good position, they're not your friends. People are not really looking at you as a genuine friend. They simply want. Everybody wants something. I sometimes wonder, I'm in the president's office, so people coming in one after another, and everybody wants something. But it's okay, it's all in devotional service. We try to adjust. But we should want Krishna consciousness. So either we can pursue spiritual enlightenment by gyan, by education, and if you're one who's totally dissatisfied, disgusted with the attempt for material happiness, he cultivates knowledge, jnana vairagya, that by cultivating such knowledge, one can reject, renounce the material world. But one who still has material desires, although he knows that ultimately there's no real happiness, they follow the Vedic scriptures, the teachings of you worship this demigod to achieve this result, you worship that demigod to achieve that result. And one may actually have elevate himself to a higher planetary system. But as Krishna describes, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avartano Arjuna, from the highest planet in the material world, Brahma Loka, Siddha Loka, there are perfected beings, great opportunity for enjoyment, down to the lowest planet, the Pitala, the hellish planets, all places are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So one who's intelligent, he'll think that, okay, I may get something a little bit better than my present suffering condition, but I'm not making a solution, a long-term solution to my problem, because I'll be forced to die, I'll be forced into the body of a lower being. Karmana, daivana, trena. We don't know exactly where we're going, but Mother Nature, instructed by Krishna, this prakriti is the energy of Krishna. This yoga maya keeps us covered, keeps us illusion. We've only forgotten Krishna. We know Krishna, but we forgot Krishna. And this forgetfulness, the symptom is that we're covered by maya and we're trying to enjoy something which is not real. It's temporary. It's an illusion. Like the animal in the desert is very thirsty. It sees something that appears like water. And the thirstier you are and the hotter it is, you move a little faster thinking that I'm really thirsty. I want to go after this water. But the water keeps moving back further and further until you die of heat exhaustion and never really achieve the satisfaction. So it's just the thought of enjoying keeps you going. So everyone in this material world is thinking that others may have failed at the pursuit of sense gratification, but I am very intelligent. I have a plan how to be happy and successful. So although there may be a temporary glimmer of happiness, is considered very, very insignificant. Because if we give up the attempt by worshiping demigods and worshiping and trying to follow the rules and regulations to be elevated to higher, better situations, if we realize that bhakti, by devotion, I can't on my own advance in spiritual life, but Krishna, in the heart, sarvasya chahang hridi sanavishto matat smriti gyanang apohanang cha, he's guiding us. You want to eat the fruit of material life? Go ahead. I'll provide you any kind. You want to be a pig, a dog, a horse, elephant, demigod? Krishna's very kind. He'll give us any and every opportunity to try to satisfy our desires, because ultimately we're Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge, and full of happiness. But the happiness cannot be achieved in material life. Happiness can be achieved only by serving the spiritual master. In this case, is considered the husband for the wife, but also the husband and has to become act as a guru and spiritual master. It's not one of making one feel subordinate to another. I know that many times we come to Krishna consciousness and parents think, oh, you just become subservient to some man, because they have no conception of guru or the Vaishnava or the representative of God, that, oh, you become subservient and controlled by some man or some institution or some rules and regulations. But this was explained very clearly in Bhagavad Gita that tadviri pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanastatva darshana. That in order to learn the truth, we have to approach a bona fide spiritual master. We have to surrender to him, render service. And that spiritual master will enlighten you because he has seen the truth. And in the same way, we all have relationships. Asat sanga tyag avaishnavacha. We avoid the association of the non-devotees, of the materialists, of the gramya katayis, those who want to simply discuss all the latest gossip. You know, there's also many websites you can read about all the fallen devotees in ISKCON or how bad things are. Every society has its faults and shortcomings, but we should work on our own consciousness, and by hearing about the faults of others is not going to make our situation any better. Better we take the good advice of Srila Prabhupada and hear about Krishna with faith and enthusiasm. Hear the Krishna book. Hear the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, of Bhagavad Gita. Live in a holy place. Worship Tulsi Devi. Go to the morning program. See the beautiful deities in the morning. Sing and dance for the pleasure of their lordships. You know, take prasadam in the association of devotees. Avoid materialistic activities. Avoid any food not cooked by Vaishnava. The one who's very, very careful to increasing his hearing and chanting, just like now Kartik just ended, but many visitors came, and they were so happy to go on Braj Mandala Parikram and sit in the kirtan in the temple and just together chanting the holy name of the Lord. It's not just a social, mundane event that we're all coming together to throw a party. We know how to throw a party. We throw a transcendental party because we decorate very beautiful. Where do you see such beautiful decorations of flowers and you see the deities, they're dancing on the altar, they're beautifully being served with devotion by the devotees, because by seeing the beauty of the Lord, we're attracted. We're attracted to hear about his pastimes because we want to enter into those pastimes, not artificially and not prematurely. Not that, you know, oh, we hear about the rasa dance. Yeah, I want to become a gopi. I think I'm going to go sit in the bank of Radhakuni and become a gopi. This is not the idea. By taking some instructions and utilizing it with our applying our own little intelligence and try to think of ways of sidestepping the process of following the rules and regulations. Tapasya. You're never supposed to give up tapasya, charity. And what is tapasya? Four regulative principles are tapasya. Chanting 16 rounds is a kind of tapasya for many because the mind is uncontrolled. The senses are always hankering for something. Always distractions are there. When you're chanting, you probably think of about 20 good schemes. You know, we're trying to chant the holy name Krishna. Please pick me up from this ocean of birth and death and engage me as one of your humble servants. But instead, we're thinking of this plan, this problem, that problem, how I'm going to get out of this situation I got myself into. You know, we all get into situations. This is Kali Yuga. This is the material world. It's a place of trouble, harassment. You know, sometimes you say the wrong thing and somebody gets offended, doesn't speak to you for a whole year, maybe 10 years, you know. You know. Sometimes a blessing, yes. But we don't intentionally, we shouldn't want to offend or disturb. We know the story of Rupa Goswami when he was feeling something, maybe I've offended somebody, and he was advised that you invite all the sadhus to your for a nice prasad gathering, and that sadhu who doesn't show up, maybe he feels offended by you. Anyway, it's a long story, but we want to avoid offending devotees. And if we do offend, we should apologize genuinely from heart, whether they accept it or not. That's another thing. But if one is genuine and tries to somehow serve nicely, he develops all the good qualities of the demigods. Not that artificially we're trying to develop, you know, this particular quality, that quality. You know, let me follow the intricacies of... Although it's good to perform vratas. I know that some devotees perform some very austere vratas for Kartik. That's nice. But as long as it's helping you in the advancement of your spiritual life, not that, okay, I didn't make Mangalartik the whole month. You know, I stayed near the toilet because I was following this heavy vrata, you know. Okay, it's Prabhupada is very practical. Prabhupada is very kind, knowing the nature of Kali Yuga, knowing our shortcomings, our very astute ability of deviating from the proper process, speculating. Because, you know, we have our own ideas, we have our own ways of justifying what we do and how we do it. So better we just take shelter. Prabhupada's our guru. He's your husband, father. Who's that Mirabai? She accepted Krishna as her husband. She didn't want to have anything to do with anybody, just simply meditated on Krishna. But it's not artificial. Like I said, we shouldn't jump. There's a process, and there are throughout the Bhagavatam, there's stories and examples of very exalted women who took shelter of their husbands and achieved great, you know, great opulence and great fortune and enlightenment. And that's the ultimate objective of serving nicely. Not that we're serving for a purpose necessarily, but because of intelligence, knowing that if we serve Srila Prabhupada, if we serve Srimad Bhagavatam by attentive hearing, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, if we serve the Lord by hearing His pastimes, remembering the Lord, describing, glorifying the Lord to others. Now we have a marathon coming up. His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj will be coming to enliven the troops. We might start a little later this year because of the wonderful government financial crisis. But hopefully things will get stabilized sooner or later. I think Modi and the Indian government is instrumental in reminding us how miserable the material world is. And, you know, just thinking that, yes, that's true. I have no other shelter than Krishna. I can't change my dollars. I can't change my pounds. I can't change my 500,000 rupee notes. Life is hell, so I might as well just chant Hare Krishna, and hopefully I'll get some free prasadam at the temple. You hear that, kitchen? We got to extend our free prasadam to people who don't have money. Harivo. Free prasadam for anyone who doesn't have anything. But when you become rich and famous, don't forget Krishna Balaram. Because Krishna Balaram gives shelter to the whole universe, to everyone. And whatever we have, we should use it in Krishna's service. Whatever talent we have, whatever ability, whatever money. Because ultimately, that'll all be gone and finished. Prabhupada often criticized how, I think it was in Detroit, a very, very wealthy man, he gave all his millions to his dogs. Lawrence Fisher at the Detroit Fisher Mansion, and he made some silver deities and buried some coffins, silver coffins for his dogs, and left all their money for the dogs. So this is called miser, someone who does not know how to properly utilize the gift, the wealth given by Krishna. One devotee, nice friend, he decided that now it's time to leave this world. I don't want to be a thief anymore. I want to give everything back to Prabhupada that I stole from Prabhupada. Here, take this building, take this money. I'm finished with this material world. So we just want to dedicate our time, our life, our energy for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. But we'll not have the ability unless we understand that Krishna has appeared in this age in the form of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So many times during the early morning, afternoon, and evening, there's either japa or chanting the holy name together. So when we're hearing, try to hear Hare Krishna, Rama, in a prayerful mood. Let it resonate to the heart, because there's just a covering right now. We're covered by thick layers of desire, thick layers of illusion, of Maya's propaganda. And the only way to clear the dust of the heart is this Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Hearing the holy name of Krishna, chanting the holy name of Krishna. And this in it by itself is actually sufficient medicine. Because if you're hearing and chanting submissively with humility, then you'll naturally be attracted to hear more about Krishna. You'll want to read or listen to the glorious pastimes of the Lord. You'll want to render service. One devotee came back and he said, Prabhu, you know, I'm hearing, but give me some service. Give me some service, please. I said, okay, you know, wipe the outside of the temple from here down every day. So, oh, thank you so much. And then next day I get a text, you've made my day perfect by giving me this devotional service. Huh? Yeah, so it's like not only do we ask for service. I remember when I was Bhakta in New Naimisharanya, that was in Florida. In the morning, I knew, you know, you go full morning program, take prasad, then we serve the whole day. So I used to look for Madan Mohan, my temple commander. Where's Madan? Because, you know, what is my service for today? One who does not have the opportunity to do his devotional service feels anxiety. I think Govinda was lying on the floor and Lord Chaitanya woke up. Govinda, why you didn't go take your prasadam? Your body's lying in front of the doorway. I can't go take. But how did you get in? Oh, for service. I committed the mistake of crossing your body for your service. But I would not cross your body just for my own gratification. So the mentality of a devotee is that I want to do my service. And if your service is not clear, try to, you know, fine tune it, focus it somehow. We all have certain natures. But not to the point where you're bewildered your whole devotional life. You know, find something simple. I just thought I would throw something out. Just clean, wipe the... And it was just so satisfying. Lord Chaitanya, during the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, the Lord himself, he collected more than everybody else. He worked harder and more enthusiastically in sweeping and cleaning. So that's part of our thing. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the cleaning the temple, bathing the deities, cleaning, it all cleanses the heart. Yeah. So I think the previous speakers spoke all about, you know, the man-woman thing, and, you know, it's a big problem in the material world. We all know it. But the best solution is that we try to take shelter of the holy name in the holy Dham and perform as much devotional service in a very practical way, very decent way. We had one nice pujari in Miami, Dharma Das. He's still there. And he was head pujari, also cook, but I know he'd be trying to chant his rounds, standing up, falling over, and it'd be still early in the morning. Didn't finish his rounds, so he's up all night. I said, Dharma, get some rest, and morning with enthusiasm, chant your rounds. So I'm not saying that you should neglect your rounds. You should do your rounds. You should not neglect your duties. You should do your duties. But also, you have to balance. Not too much, not too little. Don't eat too much, don't eat too little. Don't sleep too much, don't sleep too little. You have to know your limitations and your boundaries and work enthusiastically in Krishna's service. Then Krishna will give you more and more strength, better opportunities to associate with advanced devotees, and hopefully a ticket back home, back to Godhead. Back to the spiritual kingdom. Prabhupada promised and gave the assurance Those who follow very carefully my instructions, who serve, who preach, and give this message to others, they're going back home, back to Godhead. And Krishna makes very unique arrangements. We've seen many devotees who may have even stepped away from Krishna consciousness for some time. Krishna brings them back, gives them an opportunity to associate with the devotees again and leave this world in a very transcendental way, surrounded by devotees, the holy name. So good things will happen with good endeavors. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anyone have a question, comment? Maharaj?
Yeah.
Your turn. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. The last line of the purport, it says that I can't do both at the same time, but the last line says, if one's materially attached, one should very devotedly serve one's husband, something like that. Mm. Does that mean if one's not materially attached, one shouldn't? Mm. And I wanted to hear the story about, you said that Rupa Goswami thought he might have committed something called a feast. So I've never heard that story.
No?
You decide which one you want to answer.
Yeah. Well, Mars is asking that if one is materially attached, then he should worship demigods. And right, well, you were just quoting Prabhupada, and one's husband. Good thing my wife went to Delhi today. She wasn't here to hear me. Well, whether one has material desires or no material desires, if the husband is acting as guru, then the benefit is good. Because if you have material desires and you not necessarily worship or very humbly serve a very competent husband, then we heard that, oh, beautiful, glorious lady, whatever you want. You serve me so nicely, I'll give you whatever you want. So in one sense, it's a good idea that if the husband is competent, capable, and you're nice to him, you know, and treat him nicely, this and that, then he fulfills your desires. At the same time, if the husband happens to simultaneously be spiritually advanced and eager for spiritual life by serving, even without desires, you get the spiritual benefit. So it's a good thing both ways to serve humbly. And although it may be due to custom, tradition, scriptural injunction, modern age of Kali Yuga, you know, with equal rights, people might feel, hey, why should I worship him? He should worship me. This, okay, that may go both ways. I think the husband does in many ways worship and serve the wife. You know, the Paranjana story, when she ate, he ate. When she was sad, he was sad. So all the descriptions are there of attachment both ways. But I think here is describing that the husband should be advanced and he'll fulfill material and spiritual desires if we serve. I think the story goes that Rupa Goswami was thinking of pastime Leela, Krishna Leela, and one deformed or crippled sadhu came by, and Rupa Goswami was like laughing at the pastime, and the cripple thought that he was laughing at him. You know, sometimes we see people who are awkward looking due to the... I was in Jaipur, Karoli, and the Didi was there, and then, you know, one very small person, his head was twice the size of an ordinary head. So naturally people look, you know, and imagine if you, like, happen to be thinking of Krishna and smile, and the person thought, oh, he's laughing at me. So the crippled Vaishnava thought that Rupa Goswami was criticizing, or he took it like that. And by that feeling, Rupa Goswami being so sensitive and being on a, you know, resonating on a much higher vibration than a mundaner, he felt something was awkward, not right. So when he held the feast, that person apparently did not come, and he realized, and then he went and offered obeisances and explained that, you know, any misgiving, maybe it might not be the whole story, but it's there, the story is there somewhere. Any other questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu, in the middle, there. Someone stole your question. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There is a story in the body. Sotir punya, sotir punya. That means the pious work of the husband will be transferred to the wife if the wife is fully submitted. Fully submissive means she will be ready to bind herself in the pyre of the husband. In the case of Sri Krishna, Arjun arranged the pyre for the material parts. And all the eight queens of the Lord, they bind themselves in the pyre. Mm-hmm. But not all other wives. Mm-hmm. So all other wives were degraded by coming from Dwarka to Delhi. Mm. So this is the theory that the husband's pious work will only be transferred to the wife in case he has the mentality to become sati. This is the scriptural verdict.
So we have many injunctions and many examples and stories, but due to the progression of Kali Yuga, we don't want any wives jumping in the fire with the husband, because maybe the husband is not totally qualified. Even if they are, things have changed due to Kali Yuga, but that's a very good point that the eight prominent wives of Krishna entered the fire and the other wives became, fallen, and Arjuna lost all his strength, wasn't it? He was trying to protect them, but then some common thieves overcame. These are all history and stories, but we know for sure in this Kali Kalir Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan that in Kali Yuga this Krishna Nam is the most essential and vital force, and by serving the Nam and you become a nice devotee, the husband will be pleased, the wife will be pleased, and together they'll make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we're going to make a happy ending here. One more question? Yes, there's a back microphone. No, we're not just talking just happy endings, but it's true. Krishna is kindly... No, over there at the end, yeah. Krishna's given us... He's so kind. He's given us this Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. They've appeared in this age and very, very kindly gave us a very powerful medicine and an exit strategy. You know, whenever there's a disaster, emergency, calamity, they have an evacuation plan. So our evacuation plan, I don't mean the toilet, I mean getting out of material world. The plan is to chant the holy name sincerely. Yes, Prabhu.
So, as this is the, I think, story of Satyuga, so the Kashyap Muni was very much pleased with her wife Diti, but Diti's intention was not clear. And she wants to kill Indra, the son of Kashyap Muni. Mm. So there is a lesson for all the householders, so not to give any benediction to their wife without asking freely. So there is another we see the example when Maharaj, Dashrath Maharaj, asked Kekai to ask for the three benedictions.
Right.
So and he was supported very much in this way, and there is also, so we should be alert and we should not go freely to ask for the benedictions.
No, no, he's giving the comment. Yes, Mataji wants to ask a question now. Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. In this approaching Lord and the demigods for fulfilling material desires, it seems one of the standpoint. Because Krishna is explaining in the Bhagavad Gita, anyone who approaches demigods is not intelligent. That's not intelligent. And also in the Bhagavatam it's explained that is Loka. acá más abocamos, vamos, any material desires, or you don't have material desires, or you want liberation, just approach Krishna directly.
Mm-hmm.
Here is like we have to, and it's not done, saying we have to approach the Lord, the wife has to approach the Lord, or you feel material desires.
Yeah, well, what you said is all true and correct, but due to the coverings, someone may be looking for spiritual life, but they still have a lot of desires, material desires to be fulfilled. So if you don't have the ability, the mental strength and determination to follow the strict process of bhakti or devotional service, then the way to achieve your goals, Krishna's giving everyone an opportunity, then okay, you do it this way. And by performing the rituals of the demigod worship, and you know, then there's some purification involved. And hopefully by that purification, you'll come to the realization that, oh, actually this is not the real thing. I need to go further. But even one who's practicing devotional practices has material desires. Ask him. Anybody here have material desires? Sa? Maharaj. He put his hand up. So everyone has material desires, and we know it's not correct or wrong, and still somehow the material desires come and plague us and disturb the mind and disturb the senses. But we have such strong faith in the words of Prabhupada and Krishna and the process of bhakti that we continue on the road. Because even if there's a slip or a fall down, the only process is get back on the road and continue the bhakti process of hearing and chanting. Not that we're recommending that it's okay, you can fulfill all your material desires and do bhakti. That's not the idea, but material desires are there, but the process is so strong that gradually and eventually those desires will become insignificant, and your true desires of wanting to become an associate of the Supreme Lord, or go back to the spiritual kingdom, that'll take prominence, that'll become much stronger, and then others will just fall away in due course of time. But it takes time. You have to apply the process carefully. Yes, Prabhu, one last question, and we can call it.
Here in this context, because the spiritual husband is representative of Krishna, so the wife is there. Definitely, she is approaching Krishna.
Right.
That's what you explained previously.
Yes, Krishna is represented by the husband, by the king. You know, even if we see history, the kings were respected in a godly capacity, like divinity. That's the same mood being projected here, that in a family unit, the husband becomes the god in one sense, as long as he's following spiritual process. So let's learn these lessons from Bhagavatam, and hopefully we can all make spiritual advancement. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki.
His Grace Panchagora Prabhu ki.
Jai, jai, jai.